A court throws a wrench in Portugal's plans.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with a global perspective on business and economics. Portugal's economic future is in doubt this morning after that country's high court ruled that many of the cuts the government is making to get a bailout from Europe are unconstitutional. The BBC's Alison Roberts joins us from Lisbon with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
So bottom line, the court says you can't do these austerity measures that you thought you had to do. And the European Union, it sounds like, has a very different idea about what has to happen.
Well, the European Union, the European Commission certainly hasn't commented on interpretations of the Portuguese constitution. And the problem here, though, is that there's some 1.3 billion euros, about $1.5 billion of savings that the government was hoping to make in a total package in the budget of about 5 billion that it now is going to have to find alternatives to. And now the Prime Minister last night in a statement to the nation said that because the budget already includes unprecedented tax increases, that the only savings must be on the spending side. And given that the court has said that the government is not allowed to make major cuts in the salaries and pensions of public sector employees and pensioners, the only other big spending areas are health, education, and, of course, welfare and public enterprises. So those are the areas that the Prime Minister said more cuts are going to have to come. I should add, though, that the opposition parties are accusing the government of seeking to use the court's decision as an excuse to do something that it wanted to do, namely cut public services.
And just to put this in context, the economy of Portugal is 10 times the size of the one in Cyprus. So there is a lot at stake here far outside the borders of Portugal.
Well, it's much larger than Cyprus is, but it's tiny in the scale, in the framework of the European Union. Less than 1% of the European Union economy as a whole. So really, it's for Portugal, the underlying problem is an economic one. It's a lack of growth over many years, which, of course, makes it much more difficult for it to pay down its debt in the long term.
The BBC's Alison Roberts in Lisbon, Portugal. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, immigration reform is expected to be front and center in Washington this week as lawmakers introduce their plans for an overhaul. One idea is to create a guest worker program, but as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, there are big questions about how that should be done.
The biggest disagreement centers around how many visas we need for low-skilled guest workers, immigrants who work in restaurants or construction. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and labor leaders hammered out an agreement on that question, capping visas for construction workers at 15,000. Jeff Schoaf of the Associated General Contractors of America says that's not nearly enough.
15,000 equates to about 0.25% of total construction employment today. That seems like an extremely small number to be your cap.
Schoaf wants more construction worker visas, a higher cap. He's going to lobby hard for it. Tom Snyder will be on the other side of the debate. He's the point person for the AFL-CIO on immigration. He wants to limit construction worker visas to be sure Americans get the first crack at new jobs that open up.
We want to be sure that there's true labor market shortages before you admit new workers in.
Especially, Snyder says, when the unemployment rate for construction workers right now is double the national average. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up nearly 3% in Tokyo, 0.3% higher right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 40 points to finish the week at 14,565.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
There is a debate going on in Southern California between people who own expensive beachfront property and people who want to gather around fire pits on the beach. As Marketplace's Noel King reports, it's turning into a battle between private interests and public land.
Down at the shore, everyone agrees. The fire rings on Orange County's beaches are a pretty cool place to hang out. Well, I mean, we came out here to catch a few waves, and then later tonight, probably going to make some hot dogs over the fire pit.
Hot dogs and weenies and s'mores and just enjoying the beautiful day.
Connor Renard and Sarah Saldias say it would be a real bummer if someone took the fire pits away.
I don't know, it just kind of sucks.
The fire pits have been here for 60 years, but some residents of Newport Beach say that smoke from the fires is causing health problems. Dave Kiff is city manager of Newport Beach.
They have respiratory problems from asthma to some people talk about cancer, but it's difficult to pinpoint.
No one buys that. No one and their mother buys that.
OC Weekly editor Gustavo Arellano.
It's the elite who live right there at these affluent communities. They don't want the hoi polloi to come down here.
Dave Kiff takes offense to that.
They don't know what's in our hearts.
But Arellano says that Newport Beach has come up with many reasons to ban the fire pits.
There's just too many noisy teenagers there. People might fall into the fire pits.
Nobody ever wants to say those are people I don't want to be near.
Setha Lowe teaches anthropology at the City University of New York. She says that the rich and the rest often clash over public space. As the wealth gap grows, so will the problems.
If this continues because we have a greater difference between poor and rich, that means that more and more people are being thrown off public spaces that were actually public.
California officials are also divided. The Coastal Commission says the fire pits are a free resource for all beachgoers and should stay. But the regional agency that monitors air pollution says Newport Beach has a case. They've proposed a ban on fire pits in all of Southern California. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
And finally to Helena, Montana, where Wayne Klinkle's golden retriever Sundance has a bit of an eating problem. He ate five of Wayne's $100 bills. Wayne was able to piece some of the money back together, but no bank will take it. So, according to the Independent Record newspaper, he's sending the chewed up bills directly to the Treasury Department in hopes they'll send him back a check. Sundance, meanwhile, has been put on a strict no cash diet. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.